Ho, 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 everybody. It is December 12th, 2014. No, we're not starting over. This is There's Always Next Year, our first Christmas special. My name is Dave. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Joe Babb.
What's up? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody out there. We're all in our Santa outfits, looking good. We also have with us producer John.
Hello, David.
Making his debut on the show, we've got Dan from, where do we want to say you're from? You gave me like three different places. What do you want to?
Columbus.
Okay.
Columbus Dan, baby.
Yeah, because we had Dan from Colorado on.
He goes by Danny Columbus. In Columbus when he calls Cleveland sports radio shows.
He goes Pete from Solon. I think Pete from Solon is blacklisted on all sports talk radio shows.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty impressive accomplishment there. So, Pete, Dan, Danny from
Solon. I'm really confused right now.
And Gerg Booms is here, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We certainly hadn't missed him for the last couple months.
This is fantastic eggnog. Show. I got to tell you, it's great eggnog.
Yeah, you mixed
like six cups in. This is great.
You mix a pretty mean eggnog there, Booms.
The secret is going six parts whiskey to one part whiskey.
Right.
Our mason jar is supposed to be this big?
I guess so.
Let's keep drinking. I think a Pete from Solon used to call into my show all the time. Then Frankenstein canned him. He said, we're not talking about that guy anymore. Fire bad.
Some people probably don't know who Pete Solon is since my microphone wasn't on earlier, but it's on now.
Oh, it must have been getting picked up from somebody else's mic, because I did see it registering when you were talking. I thought maybe the mic just wasn't loud enough, so I turned it up.
So we're being joined by Pete from Solon. Pete, what do you think? Ahead or behind?
Pretty good so far. Pretty good so far. Happy to be here.
Hang Cut up him on off, he's idiot. An idiot.
Oh, I wish we could take calls. That'd be awesome. That's a goal for 2015. That's next year, right?
All right. 2018.
So, yesterday saw game two of the Johnny Manziel era, possibly the end of the Johnny Manziel era.
I don't understand why you guys are giving this guy such a hard time. He's the future of the Browns franchise. He said he wants to stay here. I see all these pictures.
He wants to stay here.
I see all these pictures of him on the ground crying like a little girl, and they're making fun of it, and I don't understand it. You ever pull the hamstring? It hurts.
I have pulled a hamstring.
Okay, were you crying?
No.
You're lying to me.
Oh.
Cut him off. Cut his microphone. Johnny Manziel's the future of this franchise.
All right, Booms. How about you
Maybe
let the
Connor
adults
Trump.
Talk now? Let the big boys talk. Yeah, as was alluded to, he was injured. They just reported a couple hours ago that he is out for the season, so the last game. We haven't had a show since Manziel was starting, so I would like to get everybody's thoughts. In particular, you know, the sentiment around town seems to be that he wasn't ready to play. Manziel wasn't ready, so he went out there. He looked nervous, you know, whatever. What I'm worried about is that he was ready to play, and that's just all he can do. So which side do you fall on? It was just kind of rookie jitters, and he wasn't ready, or he's just not that good?
Well, let's have Columbus Dan kick us off, because I don't want to steal all his talking points right off the bat, because I'm a real whiz. So
I can't believe after 6-3 that we're sitting here where we are today. It's like it is like Groundhog Day, as Bernie, you know, belligerently said on the tailgate show yesterday. You know, we're starting our third string quarterback for what the you know week 17 for the fifth straight season. It's just
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Browns did contact Rex Grossman to see if he would sign for the last week, and he turned them down because his whole family was in town for Christmas.
He's busy sipping on eggnog.
I'm sure he's just hammered right now. I'm so sad that we missed out on the opportunity for the sex cannon to get out there.
But, no, I was disappointed yesterday. In typical Cleveland fashion, we have not seen a good look at Johnny Manziel. The Cincinnati game, we got manhandled on defense. I mean, he was obviously Manziel was terrible, but he wasn't in there for the. He went three and out every single time. And then, you know, this last game, I mean, he gets injured in the second quarter. John has something to say, but go ahead.
Well, they said that this was like last week, the first week where he did horrible. They said that was the first time that he actually prepared to play in a game. So, like, he, like, actually tried to be ready. And he's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And then he did awful. And then he prepared again, and he was, like, 3 for 8 for 30-some yards. Not really, like, the best thing that I could hope for.
Okay, all right. As Greg, the guy who plays Gerg Booms, I just want to interject something here. At the beginning of the season, the smart people, at least, said you can't translate. And this happens every time a hot rookie quarterback gets drafted. Not like that. Calm down, John.
you said it.
Success in college football does not translate, especially as a quarterback, in the NFL. And the people
just
that
ask Ken Dorsey.
Exactly. I really think that's the level he's going to play at. And he can he'll get better if he stays.
He's not going anywhere.
Well, no, he's not going anywhere. But I got two words for Johnny Manziel, and it's Tim Tebow.
Oh.
Tim Tebow came out of college, and everybody's like, Tebow's going to rule the league. Tebow's the next Tom Brady. This is going to be great. And what's Tim Tebow doing now?
Tim Tebow actually won a playoff game, though. I mean, I don't think any of us even...
Sure, and Johnny Manziel cost us the playoffs. So, all right, I can see your point. I really don't think, unless they find a way to get another quarterback, which and maybe I haven't said it on here, but this franchise's problem in the last 10 years, I don't
10?
Know. The 700. What do you want me to say? Is the quarterback position. We can't commit to a quarterback.
Not
to
Tim Couch.
We can't cultivate talent. We just go, forget it, put this guy in. And then, you know, he plays 2-3 good games, and everybody's like, that's our guy. And then he plays one bad game, and everybody's like, forget it, put the other guy in. And we just do that every season. Yeah. So we're going to go, well, let's get a quarterback next year. Okay, we get a quarterback next year, and then we do the same thing again.
But if I could go back a minute to John's point where he was talking about how, you know, Manziel really was trying. Like, he really put the work in when they named him the starter. You know, he turned down going to the Cavs game with Joe Hayden. But, you know, if you're, what is he, 22, 23 years old? If you've never studied by the time you're 23 and then you try, you're not going to know what you're doing. Like, if he doesn't know how to prepare for a game, and then he goes, all right, I'm going to prepare for a game, how do I do that? But you're not going to be good at it.
Yeah, I mean, it falls back to the whole thing. I mean, pretty much everything was set up for Johnny Manziel to win the quarterback job in preseason.
Yeah.
And he goes out and takes pictures with Justin Bieber and lays on a swan. And, I mean, it's with a bottle of champagne. I mean, Johnny Manziel has been given every opportunity to be successful. And Johnny Manziel has been his own worst enemy. I mean, he's...
Right, and will that... I mean, can he even recover from that? You know, most guys, by the time they make it to the NFL, know how to play the quarterback position. He doesn't seem to know how to do most of the things that quarterbacks do besides, like, he can throw the ball, but he doesn't know how to set his feet. He doesn't know how to, like, read a defense, go through his progressions. He knows how to be one of the best athletes on the field and just get by with that. And you can't do that in the NFL. The linemen are faster than him at this point. So it's not a recipe for success. And I'm wondering if he can even overcome what he's done kind of to himself up to this point.
And I think we're going to see that. I mean, if Jimmy Haslam, as long as he's the owner, you know, they're not going to get rid of him. I know that there are options out there for quarterback. And, you know, I think, I don't know if he can overcome it either, but he's going to darn well try, because the one thing we know about Manziel is that he cares about his brand. And he's old news. He's yesterday's news. 2 days ago, he was still the hottest thing on ESPN. ESPN doesn't care about Johnny Manziel anymore.
If he went out and got his picture taken on another swan flying around, floating around drinking champagne, he'd be back in the news again. And he'd go, this is way easier than going out there and getting my ass kicked.
But I do agree with Dan. I think people are losing interest in Johnny Manziel now that he's not playing up that. They're saying, yeah, this guy's not any good, so, like, why should we follow him in the same manner that we did? And, I mean, it was alarming. I saw a guy who can't see the field. I mean, the one completion he did have, that pass to Hawkins, I mean, he looked at him the whole time. It was his first read.
Right.
He literally looks at one guy. He takes it down and he runs. If his first option's not open, I mean, you know, even some of our other terrible quarterbacks, at least they'd
Brandon
look at
Leighton.
Like two of their options and then get sacked. I mean,
well,
Johnny Manziel literally looks at one guy and then just runs around.
Yeah.
Well, and think of it like this. Think of it from the front office's point of view. You've got a guy who is a high-profile draft pick. I mean, he was 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
And traded up to get him because he wanted to come wreck the league.
Let's wreck this league. You've got somebody who goes on record 11 hours ago, according to the thing that was just on the screen there, saying, I want to be the guy in Cleveland. Last week was the first time that he prepared for a game. He's been dressed on the field, or on the sidelines, ready to go on the field for how many games this season? Last week was the first time he prepared for a game. How do you say, I want to be the guy? I want to be the guy who leads this franchise when you wait until they name you the starter to actually pay attention. Because that's really what it all comes down to. He's not completely focused on what's going on in the game. And for everything that he wants them to put on him, he's not being a professional.
No, he's not willing to work for it, at least at this point.
Right. How can Ray Farmer look at somebody that they're paying that much money to, that up until last week or 2 weeks ago wasn't a viable starting option, really, and he's going, I'm your guy, I'm your guy, I'm your guy. He hasn't, like,
and Haslam's going, he's your guy.
Right. Think of it as a college professor. This kid stands up in class and says, I should be getting the best grades in this class. He's shown up. He's slept through every lecture, and he hasn't bought the books.
The problem is,
but I'm really smart.
Everything's always come easy for Johnny Manziel. You can't argue with how he played at Texas A&M. He won the Heisman Trophy. He was great. He's never had to work for anything, and he became an instant celebrity.
And this is where you find out what somebody's made of when they get challenged.
And hitting rock bottom might be what Johnny Manziel needs.
Or he might just throw up his hands and go, this sucks. I don't like working. I'm going to go just party and get paid to be a celebrity, because he probably could.
And that's why I bring up Tebow. That's, you know, for all of Tebow pose nonsense crap, I mean, that's kind of what he did. He kind of sucked.
He tried really hard.
Well, he
just had no talent.
But that's, all right, well then, that's a bad example. But
he refused to play any other position. He could be playing tight end for somebody right now.
The people that were thumping their chest yelling for Tebow to play are the same people that are pumping their, you know, thumping their chest saying, Manziel's the guy, Manziel's the guy, Manziel's the guy. And it's, he's not. You know,
well, he's definitely not yet.
Hoyer is a mediocre fit for this franchise. At best, really.
I mean, I don't know that you have to point out this franchise.
For any franchise. But he only got that way sitting on the bench watching a good quarterback. And for us playing Manziel when we did, that damaged Manziel's potential to me.
Well, they had no choice. Hoyer was playing so
bad. Who cared?
Hoyer was playing so bad. The media, and by all accounts, everyone but Mike Pettine was clamoring for Manziel to play. You can only stand up to that for so long.
But that's the problem with sports in this town, at the very least. And I love Cleveland sports, but the first time the fans start chanting for somebody, they go, well, we got to play him. We got to play him. Everybody wants Van Zelen. Well, we got to play him. It's not, look, the kid's not ready yet. If he was ready, he would have been starting. He's not ready. He's got to figure out the way this offense works. And it's
someone say he had 14 weeks to get ready, though.
Right, but he didn't. But that's my point. He crammed the night before.
I thought,
and he failed.
I kind of
went, screw it, let's play him again.
And that's an indictment on him and the coaches.
I don't dispute that at all. I think that they should have known from, I don't know, week six. Like, this kid's not paying attention. He's not learning. He's just kind of sitting on the sidelines goofing off.
You know, I think there are a lot of people when he was drafted that said he's going to start September 7th at Pittsburgh. I mean,
yeah.
The fact that
I remember hearing it. Absolutely.
Made it a lot longer than I think a lot of people said. If you were betting the over-under on how long before he started, I bet a lot of people would have bet the under.
Oh, yeah. I had him coming out of the bye starting. That's when I figured he was going to start.
But they also had to, I mean, again, they had to know he wasn't right. And
you would think.
How could Hoyer so dramatically poop the bed?
Well, I kind of expected, you know,
and
I don't know if I expected or hoped Pettine was going to come out there after the Cincinnati game, sit down at the podium, and go, there, that's why I didn't play him.
Well, that goes back to the big question, where is the pressure to play Manziel coming from? Where is the pressure to draft Manziel coming from?
Well, we know
is
where
that Pettine's guy even?
No, it's not Pettine's guy. Shanahan loves
and,
him.
And Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr looks like they could be, you know, franchise.
Yeah, well,
that's
what I love about the Browns. They commission a study. Who should we pick at quarterback? The study says Teddy Bridgewater. So they trade up to pick Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, they trade up to pick Justin Gilbert.
Well, they traded down and then up.
Yeah, but
they could have had Gilbert where they sat. Who went in that? Who went nine?
Who went nine? That's a good question. I remember. I know Mike Evans went seven. But
yeah,
I
really would have liked Mike Evans. I think I like Mike Evans better than Sammy Watkins. Well,
that's why we have producer John. He's pulling it up right now.
I mean, I guess technically, when we go back and look at this in a year or two, we're going to go, why didn't they take Odell Beckham?
Anthony Barr?
He wasn't supposed to be taken that early.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't take him.
Zach Martin has completely turned the Cowboys offense around. The guard from Notre Dame.
I remember hearing that the Browns wanted him. They were hoping he was going to fall to him in the 20s there. But yeah, it's just, yeah. So this week we've got either Hoyer again, or we've got the beginning of the legacy of Connor Shaw.
It's the Connor Shaw era in Cleveland Browns football.
Like, going into this season, if you told me week 17, we're going to have Connor Shaw handing the ball off to Isaiah Crowell 20 times, I would have gone, I probably would have gone, yeah, that sounds about right. But we'd be like, what? 3-13. That's not a
12.
7-win team.
Yeah, I agree. It's it's just the Browns.
But to be fair, if they didn't have the schedule that they had, if they didn't have that easy of a schedule, you're looking at a 5-win team.
Yes and no, because you know you can play the schedule game, but you know the games that they really should have won are games you think Baltimore, Indy, games that you had a lead. But
right, but and good teams win those games.
Games like Buffalo and Jacksonville, which you look at the schedule game and you say, oh, those are wins. Those are the teams that, frankly, kicked our ass, you know, up front.
Yeah, but
A big turning point in the season was the Alex Mack injury. You hate to make excuses, but, I mean, when they stopped being able to run the ball, the quarterbacks couldn't throw the ball.
Oh, yeah, Hoyer.
And,
I mean,
and I really think that – I think the team, honestly, is just a quarterback away, but I guess you can probably say that about – you know, 20.
Well, maybe they're Alex Mack away because they looked pretty good.
Yeah,
if they can control the ball, you know, let's not pretend that even with Josh Gordon, they've got like this stellar receiving core. You know, they want to run the ball, you know, throw you know, third and five passes.
Sure.
If and they I, have to.
I've said a lot.
And that's the kind of stuff that you have somebody like Brian Hoyer.
You can win with Hoyer only if you have a great running game.
Right. And you can have... You can't... Well, at this point, you can't win with Johnny Manziel.
No, I from what I've seen, even if we ran the ball well, I don't know if Manziel would be successful.
No.
I think that's a good next question. I mean, what do you guys do at quarterback? You know, if you're Ray Farmer, I mean, what do you do with that position?
I have no idea. I really don't envy their position right now because they either have to stick with Manziel and really hope that he turns it around, and I can't see how they could look at him and think he will. Like, they would just have to... They'd almost have to hire somebody to follow him around the whole offseason and make sure he doesn't do anything stupid and get arrested or suspended or, you know, just put in the work. Like, actually try.
And he's the type of guy players don't like playing with Johnny Manziel because he doesn't hit receivers like when they come out of their routes. He hits them like when he's improvising or he, you know, the guy, his linemen have to, like, you know, block.
Yeah, they don't know where to
They don't know where he's going to be in the pocket. I mean, it's not just a matter of him being a bad quarterback. It's a matter of him being a quarterback that, like, guys don't like to play with.
Well, yeah, and he doesn't have – he's not a transcendent athlete. He's a great athlete, but he's not – you know, like I said before, he's not faster than even the lineman anymore. Like, that play he got hurt on yesterday, why they called that is completely beyond me. Like, what did they think was going to happen? He's not faster than a linebacker, so they're trying to run him around the end? And why didn't he just step out of bounds? He lowers his head into a middle linebacker like an idiot.
Yeah.
I figured he went down because he had a concussion. But I guess he pulled his hamstring or something. Which, I'm not saying he didn't do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, hey, kids, stay down. You're not going back out there.
But no, back to Dan's question, what would you do at quarterback? I mean, I've thrown out if Jimmy Clausen's playing well in Chicago, which is really shocking.
No.
I would consider Jay Cutler.
No.
We got two first round draft picks.
Look,
draft some linemen and play Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler,
but you have to trade for him.
First off, you have to trade for him, but you would probably receive a pick with Jay Cutler. He makes so much money. They'd be like, "Here, you can also have our fourth round pick." Give us nothing. You can have Jake.
They would probably ask for something.
Like a seventh rounder.
I don't know what the balance is.
He has no value right now. He got benched. He has he's had a terrible attitude his whole career. That's why he didn't stick in Denver. And let's also not forget, for as elite as Jay Cutler supposedly is, he's been to the playoffs once in his entire career.
You know what would be interesting to watch is the Philadelphia situation. Mark Sanchez is playing great, and you got Nick Foles, and you got Matt Barkley on the...
Yeah, and I wouldn't want any of those guys.
No?
No, unless I was Philadelphia. Like, they seem like they fit in that system.
I'm not sure I like any of those guys either, but Sanchez is an interesting name just because of the ties to Mike Pettine. You know, being from the Jets organization.
I don't want Mark Sanchez. I'll never get the butt fumble out of my brain.
I do agree that, you know, I would bring back Manziel just because you have to. I mean, the guy has started two games, and OIC, you know, only in Cleveland, to Joe's point, he's only played like 60 snaps. I mean, we haven't...
But that's because he's so bad, they only got 60 snaps out of it.
That and the defense can't get off the field. They're on, you know, they're giving up 7-minute drives. And, you know, it's just typical Cleveland. We don't even get a chance to really evaluate them. So it's... I
don't know how much more you needed to see. Because that's the thing, in that I was figuring I figured he wasn't really going to be very good. But you were going to get a couple plays where you're like, there it is.
Right.
There's what he does.
And you didn't get that.
And you didn't get one.
You know, you can argue the one that you got was, you know, when he eluded some pressure early against the Bengals and he threw a zip pass to Hawkins and Hawkins dropped it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't see it from ever. But, you know, getting back to, you know, clearly they have to bring in some competition, whether it's drafting a quarterback. I know we don't want to talk about that. Or bringing in one of these stiffs off the free agent wire that we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Well, Colt McCoy's going to come
Ryan
back.
Ryan Hoyer is
Colt McCoy.
He's gone. Agreed?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he comes back.
Especially
they're
now.
Not bringing back,
yeah, he's
both.
Gone.
You know, I can't see a situation
unless
they bring back Hoyer, but.
Unless they trick the Cowboys into trading for Manziel,
right.
he's here.
He's gone. Yeah, Johnny's here. Hoyer's gone. they got to bring in competition. I mean, and that will really tell us a lot. Can Johnny prepare in the offseason with some stiff competition? You know, as Joe said earlier, he didn't beat out Hoyer when he could have. Hoyer was giving him every opportunity in training camp.
And yeah, they were both terrible.
They were both terrible.
And in preseason, I mean, let's not mince any words. Hoyer looked really bad in preseason.
He was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he looked like he did the last four games.
Yeah.
Bloggers predicted us to go 1-15, which is absurd.
And
if they played like they did in the preseason, I could have seen that. They were just all around bad.
That again speaks to Manziel as his mindset, at least. For somebody to be playing that bad in preseason, lose the starting job to him, essentially, because, I mean, if you would have believed Cleveland's sports reporting, ESPN, whoever, that job was Manziel's to lose. Because Hoyer wasn't very good. And he just crapped the bed. And then to not pay attention for that long. The first game you play him next season, if you name him your starting quarterback, what does that say about your team? What does that say about how you view your team?
That you made a first-round pick and you're really hoping that he pans out. A lot of teams do that. That's how things happen in the NFL. But
it doesn't. It doesn't most of the time.
Looking at that list.
Colt McCoy. I'm telling you. Colt McCoy is going to come back.
Okay, Gurg Booms, because that's who you're being right now. He thought that Colt McCoy is the best quarterback ever.
It's tough to do that voice.
All you have to do is just yell and interrupt people all the time.
You're an idiot. It hurts. I mean, that hurts my throat.
And hawk people.
Obviously, I'm intrigued by Thaddeus Lewis because he played great that one game he played for the Browns. But I might give somebody like Jake Locker a shot. I mean, he couldn't stay healthy in Tennessee.
He actually looked really good in that game we played against the Titans.
Yeah, I would.
If he would have been healthy in the second half, I don't know if Brian Hoyer would have brought us back.
No, I doubt it. But I would take a look at him if he's willing to come here. I don't like Blaine Gabbert.
About Jake Schlocker. That's where we're at. I mean, that's
hey.
It's a better option than Manziel.
Do you think Shanahan will be back? Because all season long we heard, oh, Shanahan's definitely gone. He's going to be head coach. But they have fallen so hard.
Him and Hoyer have kind of fallen in unison. I mean,
right.
Their whole plight.
Is he going to get a head coaching job or is he going to stay here? I don't think the Browns will get rid of him.
I know.
Especially as long as Manziel's here, they're going to keep him around.
He might get some interviews. I do agree. His stock has fallen. I mean, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he gets anything this offseason.
And he's kind of fallen back into what he was in Washington, where he seems to be feast or famine. Sometimes he's brilliant. Guys are running wide open. And then other times you're just scratching your head and saying, what?
Okay.
Matt Hasselbeck's still out there in like 40s, too.
Still out there. Good for him.
Michael Vick is still. Michael Vick has been good adapting back to society since the whole.
Adapting back to society. That's a good way to put it.
But not necessarily adapting back to the NFL.
He had that one magical year. He's almost paid off all his debts. I saw that. That was a big story for some reason.
Yeah, he filed for like Chapter 7 instead of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Yeah. I read an article
like
about that.
$18 million or something. Good for him. Good job. Good on you, Michael Vick, I guess. How's your brother doing? So
can sell some of his dogs.
Yeah, can
to
we
make
sign
that
Marcus
money back?
Vick to be our quarterback?
Braxton Miller is going to be out in the 2016 draft.
Well, by then we'll know that it's time to give up on Manziel, and maybe they'll take him. Any final Browns quarterback? Anything thoughts?
No, we really discussed that in the ground.
And we're going to be talking about it for the next 5 months, guys. Get ready.
Yeah, it's almost time for draft talk. So, did anybody see what the Indians did over the weekend?
I don't think anybody in Cleveland has seen what the Indians have done.
The Indians do something this weekend?
No, absolutely not.
That team still plays.
The Indians did absolutely nothing.
They got uniforms and everything.
It's really
just
great.
Like they've done the entire offseason outside of signing Gavin Floyd, who, when I was looking at a list of pitchers that the Indians might be interested in, I did say to myself, I think I'd take a flyer on Gavin Floyd.
Actually, they did sign Scott Downs, didn't they?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they signed Scott Downs.
But that still qualifies as nothing. The Indians are just sitting around while all the teams around them build themselves up. I don't understand what they're thinking. I mean, I know they're kind of tied to those terrible contracts in Bourne and Swisher where they can't really do anything with those, and the owner won't give them any more money. But you got to try something.
Well, I mean, the Moss signing, I mean, it's a 30 home run guy for pretty much a C-level prospect.
He's coming off of hip surgery, which sometimes robs you of a lot of your power. And he's also already 31.
Yeah, I don't really love that part about it all. But I mean, you know.
He's terrible in the field.
25 home runs.
It's a low risk, you know, high reward.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with the trade because we didn't really give anything up. But everybody calling this trade a slam dunk for the Indians. Oh, they got this legitimate power bat. And, okay. So let's say he does hit 25 home runs. He's going to hit like 240, strike out a ton of times, and play awful no matter where you stick him in the field.
Yeah,
how many guys like that do the Indians need?
And you do need hips to be able to like generate power.
That's best case scenario for Swisher. He's like around 20 or so home runs, low batting average, terrible fielding. Same thing with Santana.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say take the Billy Bean philosophy and say, you know, the on-base percentage is decent.
Well, yeah, that's Santana, but not Swisher.
I think Moss is a fairly high OBP guy.
Yeah, the second half last year, he kind of fell apart because of the injury, but
he was an all-star last year, though.
But what if, I don't like the fact that, and I mean, the Indians front office guys will go on the radio and say, like, hey, you know, this starting rotation, we are set for years. They have one guy who's done it for a season.
It's a lot of potential. I mean, they have the potential to have an absolute lights out rotation.
Yeah.
But they're young.
There's also the potential that two or three of them completely blow up.
Right. We know that, you know, we know that they have a lot of good young arms out there. There's a lot of potential, but, you know, there's only one guy that's proven, and that's Corey Kluber. You know, Salazar, we know that he's had some control problems. Carrasco, you know, he's shown some mental problems. You know, but if those guys put it together, they can definitely have the pitching to compete. It's just, you know, will they be able to hit enough and score enough runs in today's baseball where there's not as much offense as there were in the 90s when we were, you know, scoring 5-6 runs a game and blowing teams out in the regular season.
And I'll tell you what's scary, too, with Carrasco. A lot of the credit for him turning it around last year was given to the bullpen coach who has now been hired to be the manager of the Rays. So if he kind of slips a little bit, who's going to fix him?
Well, they say Mickey Callaway is the primary guy.
When Carrasco went to the bullpen last year.
Oh, that was the guy who, yeah.
Yeah, he was working with Cash a lot. Yeah. And, you know, they came up with that idea of just try pitching out of the stretch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that continues to work. But if it doesn't, what happens?
Well, the good thing is they have depth. I mean, they have TJ House, they have Salazar, they have a number of these guys that, you know, not all five guys are going to throw 30 starts a year, and, you know, so one of these guys is going to not pan out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they signed Floyd and said he's in the rotation. So that leaves, they said the number five spot is open for Salazar, House, McAllister.
They're saying Salazar may start in AAA again, honestly.
And you know what? I was talking to our former co-host, Tim, about this, and actually, he thinks that Manziel failing is the best thing that possibly could have happened to him. I'm just going to throw that out there. We'll see if he's right. But we were talking about this same situation with the Indians rotation, and we both kind of thought that maybe TJ House should get the spot because he's a lefty. And he's kind of stable. You know, he's more of like an innings eater than a guy who's going to go out there. And
yeah, I'm all for McAllister. I mean, he looks electric in the bullpen. I'm all
I say keep him in the bullpen.
Zach Mack in the bullpen, because I sort of think this is the year the bullpen's going to jump the shark. I see Brian Shaw.
They're in trouble.
Getting lit up.
They need
a
some
bit.
Fresh arms in there.
Yeah.
And here was the other thing we thought of. What about either doing it in AAA or you start him in the bullpen and see what happens? Seeing if you can transition Salazar maybe into a closer. Because he's not – I think he's too inefficient to be a starter. He throws too many pitches. When
he does, you know, a young Bartolo Colon used to be that same way. He used to throw a lot of pitches. He used to get guys hitting a lot of foul balls, getting his pitch count up, and he learned to be more efficient. You know, I think he's still got to be patient because I think for the first time in quite some time, when was the last time we went into spring training feeling good about our closer? I think it's been a while.
Yeah, but he's also and
Cody Allen, I'm talking.
No, I know, but he's been a bit overworked the last couple seasons. If he can continue that, that'd be great. I'm worried about him and Shaw and Zebchinski.
And Scott Acheson, that he's going to like
Scott be,
end up in an old folks home.
Yeah.
And the Indians have to pay his Medicare.
But no, I tend to agree with Dan. I think, I mean, with that type of talent, you got to try it. You got to force it to try to be a starter, I mean, as much as you can. It's just, so, I mean,
let me ask you this.
A great starter is more valuable than a closer.
Would you be open to the idea of trading Salazar for a bat?
Go ahead, Dan.
Absolutely, if it's the right bat, yeah, 100%, I would.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, a pitcher can, like, blow out his arm at any time.
Right. Out of those guys that, you know, we're talking about potential, I think he probably brings the highest yield, and I'm also kind of comfortable with taking that risk because I don't know that he's ever going to become that.
Because he himself is a risk, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Indians seem intent on babying him at every turn. I mean, he barely pitched in spring training last year because they were going, oh, well, we just got to make sure he's healthy for the start of the season. And then he came out, and he looked like a guy who didn't pitch in spring training.
And then he got
sent down to AAA and worked himself out there, came back up, and was okay in the second half of the season. But I wonder if he ever develops into really any kind of consistency, because he just watching him, he's a bit erratic in his motion. His pitches, he tends to leave them high too much. Hopefully he gets over that. You know, we've seen it before, but at this point, you know, he could be just another one of those guys that the Indians hold on to for too long.
He reminds
waiting
me of
for
Rick
that
Vaughn.
To happen.
Does he need glasses?
Yeah, maybe he just needs glasses, and then he'll be fine. But yeah, I would look into maybe what Tim and I came up with was seeing what you could maybe get for a Chisenhall Salazar package. See if you can get a third baseman.
If I would have gotten Josh Donaldson for that package, I'd be.
Oh
all
yeah.
In.
Yeah.
It's got to be a significant bat, yeah. like a Josh Donaldson, and preferably a right-handed bat, because you look around the roster.
Right-handed bat that can play third base.
The right-handed bats are a rare breed, it seems like, nowadays. Guys,
at least for the Indians organization.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to starting Salazar in AAA. I mean, I think TJ House is probably more ready to step on an opening day roster and start. He's left-handed, which is an advantage, and I think Salazar just needs more work. And if he can prove that he can get his command under control, then, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just counting down the days that until Gavin Floyd is out of the rotation. I think he's going to be this year's Brett Myers.
But I was going to bring up Brett Myers, but maybe he's like what they were hoping Brett Myers was going to be. Because with that many young starters, those guys, they all throw a ton of pitches, and that's how your bullpen gets overworked. When you have somebody like Gavin Floyd, hey, Gavin, you're going to go out there, you're going to throw seven innings tonight, you're going to give up four runs.
Great point.
But we're going to get seven out of you. You know, so we don't have to burn our bullpen.
I like Gavin Floyd a lot more as a gamble than I liked, you know, those other guys.
Oh, Brett, I do
Brett
too.
Myers and Derek Lowe, because those guys were so old at that point. I mean, yeah. You know, Gavin Floyd still is, you know, he's over the hill, but he's still relatively young.
Yeah, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and then he broke his elbow.
He's more comparable to a Kazmir. I know he's right-handed and that's left-handed.
Oh, yeah.
Than he is those other two guys, because those guys were just ancient.
How about this? Scott Ellerton.
No, Scott Ellerton.
He started off.
Can he be Paul Byrd?
Hey, I think we would all love if he was Paul Byrd.
Yeah.
A guy that's
on HGH. He should be on HGH. He's injured all the time.
Let's just hope he's not Brett Myers.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to. If nothing else, he's not going to be Brett Myers because he doesn't have the attitude of Brett Myers.
And we paid Brett Myers $8 million that year. We're only paying Gavin Floyd $4 million.
And that's the thing, getting back to the offseason, you know, I have no problem with the Indians not going after a starter, because when you guys look at what starting pitchers go for in the
open market,
that's crazy. But I wish they would have gotten another hitter. I mean, I just think...
They've got assets. They do have assets to
trade. You don't have to sign a guy, but you can trade. I mean,
the Indians can't sign a guy.
Baseball's all about pitching, but during the regular season... You need to hit the ball a little bit, otherwise you're spinning.
You know what's been unbelievable is, I know nobody ever talks about the Padres, but what the Padres have done in the offseason has been...
They got a whole new outfield.
Justin Upton, they've gotten... Who else have they gotten?
Matt Kemp and Will Myers.
Yes.
They got a whole new outfield.
Complete transformation of all pretty much two stars
and they traded for Will Middlebrooks.
And Will Middlebrooks? Wow. Yeah, I mean, that GM, it's aggressive. I mean, their farm system is probably completely depleted.
Yeah, it's decimated.
But you got to respect the fact that they're going for it. It's not same old Padres. You'd like to see the Indians do that. They sort of did that with Bourne and Swisher, but it didn't really pan out. And the same thing may happen to the Padres, but at least
they're
trying.
I don't think these are as big of risks because they're younger players that they're getting.
Oh, yeah, Will Myers is going to be great for like the next...
He had a down sophomore season, and the Rays are like, we don't know about this guy. Yeah, why didn't the Indians trade for him? That's totally the kind of guy that the Indians would trade for. And then he'd never be any good, but that's what they would do. It'd be like they'd trade for Will Myers and some unknown
Alex Escobar.
And then Myers would suck, and whoever the other guy was.
When the Indians traded Roberto Alomar for Alex Escobar, they chose from a list of prospects that included David Wright and Jose Reyes.
Oops.
You know, Joe, that's just something you don't have to bring up before.
I don't think I've ever heard that. That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, we're all trying to stay in a good mood.
Seeing as we were just talking about how we need, you know, that right-handed third baseman, some power.
What's the Vegas line on the over-under on wins this year?
Can you pull that up? I have to think it's about 80.5.
Last year it was 78.
Wouldn't you? 80?
Actually, no. We probably is going to be about 83.5.
I think the one thing we know about the Indians is that the Indians have a good manager. That, you know, baseball is such a grind, and I think a manager is very important. Not necessarily from you know, on the field, you know, X's and O's. That stuff comes more important in the playoffs. But just keeping the team up every day in and day out, keeping the spirits up. Managing the season, not necessarily always managing the game. I think obviously you have that in Tito Francona.
Yeah, but that goes to what we were talking about with the bullpen being a little burnt out. He tends to fall into pitching the same guys every game.
He does.
He loves him some Brian Shaw.
He goes with who he trusts, and you know, I think that is the one thing. You know, I've been very critical about the Indians front office, but I think the one thing that they get is they get bullpens every offseason. You see them. They never go an offseason without adding 2, 3, 4 guys to their bullpen. They just continue to throw darts at the wall because they know every year there's a guy that you think is going to pan out and that doesn't. This year it could be Brian Shaw. In years past it's been, you know, guys like Rafael Perez that have, you know, come off 2 stellar years in a row and he struggles.
Betancourt.
And I like how they always are taking flyers. They're signing like Sean Markham, like guys who have.
Well,
like,
yeah, they had Markham last year. Yeah. I liked that move, and nothing really came of it. And they signed him again this year. I still like the move.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, why not? There's no reason to not take a shot on a guy like that.
Sometimes they work out. I mean, Scott Kazmir was a minor league deal.
Yeah.
So.
And then we let him go.
Yeah.
We can't pay. I kind of agreed with the Indians on that one. You can't. You at that point, after one And
but it's only like
the first half of the season that he played for us, he was okay.
It was like 2 years, $22 million though, $11 million for. I mean, I know on the open market.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying, but that's not. It's not like it's like $25 million.
Yeah, and you know what? I've seen a couple articles this year. Don't ask me where they were. I don't remember. But they weren't from Cleveland sites where, national baseball writers are picking the Indians as their sleeper team for 2015, like saying that they're going to be the Royals of 2015. And they're just saying this rotation could be really, really good, but they might suck. So don't quote me on it.
It could be, but. It could also be, I don't like Lonnie Chisenhall, but, maybe he puts together a full season. Jason Kipnis had a horrible year. To think that we got where we were last year.
Oh, yeah.
An all-star, basically gave you nothing. I mean, Joe and I talked about it a lot last year. Do you guys remember one single hit or play that Kipnis made that made an impact on a game last year? No, you don't. I mean, you can even say Swisher made an impact because that opening day home run that he hit.
But Kipnis was basically, half of his career stats came in July of 2013. He hit like 500 for the month.
It seemed like they were all against the Twins.
Yeah. So
a couple against the White Sox.
We really haven't seen any kind of consistency out of Kipnis. Actually, the only consistency we've seen is that he's not that good. So hopefully he turns that around. I believe he can, but he just injured himself working out, and so he's not going to be able to work out for the rest of the offseason now. He had to have surgery on his finger because he pinched it in a weight or something. He's like, I'm going to get in shape. Never mind. I got hurt. So even when he tries, he just fails. As of right now, do you think that the Indians have a shot in the division? I mean,
I think the
White Sox are much improved.
Every team is much improved.
The Royals aren't. I wouldn't say the Royals are much improved.
The Royals might be a little bit worse, but the Tigers have still continue to sign a lot of people. Even the Twins have gone out and gotten Irvin Santana extended.
Yeah, but
I think the
move.
Twins are going to finish last, but still, they'll be more competitive. The Indians, it's just very, all the teams are pretty even, honestly. They got a shot.
Yeah, I think they have a shot because I think with Terry Francona, they've relatively played well in the division, and that's really important when you have an unbalanced schedule. And I think with their pitching, their streaky offense, I think they'll be right in it. I mean, it's probably going to come down to, do those young pitchers come together? Can we put together a more consistent offense?
And hopefully, I mean, really, like you're saying, all it would take is something from Kipnis, something from Swisher. How about Carlos Santana doesn't hit 100 for the first month and a half?
That's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, if you get a full season out of Santana, I would think that Swisher's going to a DH role probably pretty permanently, right?
Well, between Swisher, Santana, and Moss, you've got three guys that really should be DHing. Santana, I guess, I should amend that. Santana was not terrible at first base after he moved back there last year.
Our defense should get better when, like, couple months when we get Lindor at shortstop.
If
we get Lindor. I mean, he's got to hit at Triple A, but.
Well, I can't believe that they've already ruled him out for the start of the season. Francona came out and said,
about service time, pretty much.
I know, but they don't say that. They just say, oh, he's not ready.
And that's where I think it's ridiculous. I mean, if the guy, and maybe the guy's not ready. I mean, if he's not better than Jose Ramirez to start the season, that's fine. But I want the guy that I don't want to sputter out it, in April and May because we're rolling out a guy at short that hits 230 and, can't field his position. If Lindor's ready and he's the best option, go with it. I don't give a darn about service time. I want to win.
I agree.
Yeah, and
I think that's how every fan feels, but every front office feels the opposite.
I mean, how many years did like Mike Bordick and like Ray Ordonez hit like .190 and still just because they fielded their position? Like,
yeah, that's a big
yeah.
plus, especially since the Indians were so bad on defense last year. I mean, just having a guy out there with a good glove at any position because they don't have one right now. I mean, I guess Brantley in left, or if you threw him in center, but Bourne isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, if you flip-flop Brantley and Bourne, I think you would probably have a better outfield, but Bourne probably refuses to switch, is my guess. Chisenhall is bad. Kipnis is no good. Gomes is good. There it is. Jan Gomes. He's our gold glover.
You know, Dave, you talked about bundling Chisenhall in a trade. I would almost try to bundle Bourne in a trade, too. If you trade Salazar,
yeah, absolutely. But,
but Bourne decreases your bundle, and Chisenhall hopefully increases
my point was, no one's going to take Swisher. We know that. But, you know, maybe some team with a big payroll that needs some outfield help, maybe they take Bourne.
To be a good baseball team, you need pitching, and you have to be strong up the middle defensively. We have Jan Gomes. That's
good.
That's it, though. That, like, Kipnis cannot play. Like, he's awful in the field. Ramirez is okay. Bourne's not good anymore. Brantley needs to play center field.
But is Bourne really that bad in center? I mean, I think he fields his position well enough.
The problem is he tries to make plays that he did prior to getting old, and like now he cannot make that play anymore.
He still plays that shallow center field, and he doesn't have the hamstrings to go chase those balls down.
It gets behind him, it gets in front of him, he can't make the play anymore. If he was in right, he'd be okay because Brantley can cover up spots for him.
I mean, I'd be okay bringing up Lindor, moving Ramirez, who's good defensively, to second, and then putting Kipnis in the outfield. I know it decreases Kipnis' value being...
What about Kipnis at third?
I don't think he's got the arm for third.
That's a good question, but yeah, you might be right. Nobody's ever really considered it. Maybe he does.
But okay, so the problem is you move Kipnis to the outfield. Where does he play? You've got your three outfield spots already sewn up. Unless you can get rid of Swisher and then DH Moss. Other than that, I mean, Kipnis, he's not going to play over Brantley. He's not going to play over Bourne. And you have to play Brandon Moss or Nick Swisher somewhere. I would love to just sit Nick Swisher on the bench, but the Indians aren't the kind of team that can pay somebody $15 million to not play, even if it's like, you know, undoubtedly that it makes the team better that he's not out there, as we saw last season after he got injured and they started winning. But, I mean, if you can get anything, if you can get any kind of production out of Swisher or Bourne going into the trade deadline, maybe you can get somebody to bite. You can't do it in the offseason. You can't do it now. Their values are both just zero. I don't know that you could trade Nick Swisher or Michael Bourne, and maybe Michael Bourne, because somebody might go, we really need a leadoff hitter.
Some people have said trade a bad contract for a bad contract, like get Ubaldo back.
Yeah, they were talking about trading Swisher for Ubaldo. I'd do that in a heartbeat, because maybe you could just throw him in the bullpen at least if he's no good as a starter. Yeah. But if you're looking to get rid of Nick Swisher, I don't know that you could tell somebody that you would pay two-thirds of his salary and have anybody that would take him. Is he even worth $5 million? He's not worth anything. Like, who could you call up from the minors who couldn't put up his numbers? And then he's out there... Well, we had him out there at first base last year, just fumbling around like an idiot.
I hope some GM hopes that he can bounce back, even though it defies all logic of, like, you know, age. But, I mean, yeah.
And non-steroid.
But there's always some sucker fool out there. I mean,
I think they should take their chances and give Swisher some steroids and just hope he doesn't get caught. And if he does, hey, he's suspended. Big deal. Good. Okay, let's see. Do we want to talk Cavs a little bit, or do we move on to our Christmas special? Where we...
Your call, you run the show, you're the point. You're like Kyrie, although he's more of a shoot first.
Exactly.
You're LeBron.
I mean, the Cavs, not much has changed since our last show a couple weeks ago. They're still inconsistent. They still go out there and dominate some nights, and other nights they get dominated. They still need a defensive wing. They still need a rim protector. It came out today that they might have some interest in Brook Lopez. I don't know how much interest the Nets have in trading Brook Lopez and what they would want for him. I can't imagine they would want Deion Waiters. What would he do there? Are you really going to play him alongside Joe Johnson and Darren Williams?
That really,
if they think that would work, they're idiots.
Might be a three-way type situation.
Or, you know, I think the Nets just want to get rid of his contract, so it could be the trade exception. It could be Brendan Haywood's contract, or you know, involving a third team.
Yeah, hey, if we're not giving up any talent in it, man, that's fine with me, because I really don't think Dan Gilbert would care about taking
I mean, and I'll openly, I know I'm the host, but I admit I don't follow the NBA as close as I could. Has Brook Lopez fallen off that much? Because at one point he was an up-and-coming player. Why would the Nets want to get rid of a player of his nature?
He's got a huge contract.
He does have a huge contract, that's why. And he's injury-prone.
And you know, I don't know if I even do that if I'm the Cavs.
He's a pretty poor rebounder for his size. I will say that.
Slow foot. You know, the guy who I would rather have is his brother. I'd rather have Robin Lopez.
Yeah, but they don't want to trade him.
Well, I believe his contract is... I think his contract might be coming up. Because I did hear some chatter about him as well.
Oh, all I keep hearing is that the Cavs just over and over call Portland and ask about Wes Matthews, and they go, "No, we don't want to trade you,
Wes
Matthews."
I don't know why they
want to
trade Wes Matthews.
And the Cavs are going, "But he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year." And Portland goes, "Yeah, we know him. We're going to re-sign him."
I assume that Portland's small market, they just can't afford everyone.
Yeah. Come on, give us Wes Matthews. It'll be awesome.
And Corey Brewer just got traded to the Rockets, so that's off the table.
Yeah, hey, Josh Smith is available, everybody.
And honestly, if Josh Smith, Dan made a good point before the show. I mean, Josh Smith is maybe a good fourth best player. If he's willing to do what Sean Marion did and sign for below what his market value is, just to be with a winner.
I don't think Josh Smith is a good anything player. He is just a team cancer. He's not, especially at this point in his career. Like, he used to have the athleticism and the talent to kind of overcome his craziness, but he's lost that. So... And now maybe he was trying to get himself kicked off of Detroit or traded or whatever, because he just, I don't know what he was doing out there. He would just do whatever he felt like and whatever. I'm making a lot of money. You're not going to bench me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that's the type of player they want to add. I mean, I think if anything, they want to add high character, team, rugged, defensive type players. To this roster. You know, the one name that I heard floating around, which I never really thought about it until I really started thinking about it, is Iman Shumpert from the Knicks. You know, he's a good wing defender. He can shoot the three ball. You know, my only question is coming from the Knicks. You know, any player coming from the Knicks.
And he's got that flat top.
What is his attitude going to be like?
Like that.
But, you know.
Well, if you play with LeBron, your attitude gets turned around pretty quick. You know, Waiters seem to be holding out for a little while. Same thing with Irving, but they've turned it around here, and that's kind of why the Cavs aren't as inconsistent as they were early in the year. But what really concerns me about them is that almost every game they've gotten blown out, they're winning after the first quarter. It's like they go out there, get the lead, and then when the other team doesn't just roll over and die... They don't know what to do. How does that happen? I mean, how are you winning halfway through the second quarter by, you know, like 8 points and you lose by 30 when you're supposed to be a championship contender?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, LeBron's been through it so many times, he's a little disinterested. But what I was going to say is back to Dan's point. I mean, Iman Shumpert, I kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. And don't the Knicks have Samuel Dalembert?
Oh, Samuel Dalembert.
I mean, wouldn't that be a good way to get, you know, a rim protector and a defensive guy?
Listen,
and
get,
you know, 7-6 Deion Waiters. I mean,
I'm a big Samuel Dalembert fan. You know that. But
I think Deion Waiters, Carmelo Anthony, and J.R. Smith, they'd have to bring out a rack of basketballs.
That would be awesome to watch, though.
There's not enough shots to go around in those games.
The problem with Samuel Dalembert is that at this point in his career, he's like homeless man Samuel Dalembert. And at his peak, he was poor man Samuel Dalembert. Like, he never was what people thought he was going to be. So now he's really not that. You could throw him out there and he'll jump around and grab some rebounds and foul some guys.
We need a guy
that's better than what they have at blocking shots, I guess.
We need a guy that can play. You know, we don't need a guy that plays heavy minutes. We just need a guy that plays 10, 12 minutes a game. You know?
Oh, see, I think they need somebody who can come out there and play 20, 25 minutes if need be, depending on the opponent.
Really?
Because they need a rim protector.
Where does he get those minutes over?
Well,
Thompson?
How about we let Love and LeBron and Irving not all play 40 minutes a game? We could start there.
I'm in support of that.
I'm not arguing.
You give them 5 minutes each from LeBron and Love. There's 10.
Like in the Memphis game yesterday, Memphis was pulling out their starters and we were up 15, and then we were leaving LeBron and Kyrie in the game.
Well, was it against the Hornets? Where the Cavs were up by like 30 and the starters were still out there.
Really?
They only ended up winning by 8.
Those three should play very few minutes together. You should always have two of the three on the floor at a time.
You finish the game with all three of them out there if need be.
Yes.
Well, I guess you have to play them together a little bit so they get some chemistry, but
sure.
Yeah, you should be able to go long stretches where there's only two of the three out there, and the Cavs do not do that. I mean, and it's almost like once LeBron leaves and it's Kyrie and Kevin Love out there, it just goes back to last year's Cavs, where it's Kyrie dribbling the ball around for most of the shot clock, and then he either drives to the basket or he throws it to Waiters, and Waiters shoots it as soon as he touches the ball, because that's his game.
From one step inside the three-point line.
Yeah. Just take a step back.
Usually dribbles a couple times.
Yeah. They're headed in I'd say the Cavs are headed in the right direction. I think they will make a move. Do you see Ray Allen signing with the Cavs? He said he's not going to sign with anybody until like February, but he's starting to field his suitors, and the Cavs are supposedly high on the list. You know, do you think he would even help that?
I'm not even sure how much Ray Allen. I guess I would take him, but I'm not even sure how much he would help. I mean, you need a defensive presence on a wing, as we talked about. I mean, you got Mike Miller, you got James. I almost feel like at this point, James Jones is obviously worse than Ray Allen, but, you know, he's like similar, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so. No, I agree. I think it would be bad, I think, for the team, because they'd go, hey, we got Ray Allen, so now we're even better. But they really would kind of be in the same place. So, like, mentally, I think it would screw them up, because they would think that they just got better.
I think
so
we needed to get either, like, Mike Miller or Ray Allen, and we got Mike Miller.
Yeah, so you don't need both. It's not, and that's why Miami got rid of Mike Miller.
Yeah.
Because you don't need both of them. They're the same guy. Almost. Let's see. I guess that'll do it for Cavs, unless anybody has anything else to add. Okay. Well, like I said, this is our Christmas special, so we're going to get into our Christmas topics now. It's it's time to ask Santa for what we want for Christmas. So I don't know if anybody wants to start.
And if you don't say quarterback, you're pretty much a fool. But we'll just preface it with that.
I guess that's like
we're allowing people to say quarterback, but that's the obvious choice. So
right, I guess it. Yeah, I mean, maybe if you say quarterback, say who?
Yeah,
like you could say you want Johnny Manziel to be good, but maybe you want a different quarterback, because even if Manziel was good, you still wouldn't like him. And like me. I just don't like the guy. I'd cheer for him if he was good, but I'd be like, hey, he's kind of a dick. So, Joe, what do you want from Santa?
What do I want from Santa? I want LeBron James playing less minutes during the regular season. I feel like...
I think you could ask David Blatt for that.
LeBron has proven everything he can possibly prove during an NBA regular season. At this stage of the game, it doesn't matter if the Cavs are the 1 seed or the 3 seed. LeBron just needs his body to get a break. I want him playing like 33 minutes, 34 minutes at max.
Yeah, we need him extra fresh for the playoffs.
You know, home court's important, though?
I don't think the East it's that important. Maybe in the finals.
Yeah, in the finals.
You know, they're not going to end up with the best record in the league.
Game 1, 5,
Have you
seven.
Seen the West?
Yeah, that's true. They're already a little bit ahead of us.
Yeah, I I think we could win on the road. I mean,
I think we can too. I'm just asking.
It's a good thought, but I'd rather have like 4 or 5 good years of LeBron than like 2 years and then he's like Tracy McGrady over the hill, like you know, Tracy McGrady Spurs.
Yeah. Is that all you want, Joe?
Well, I mean, I want a lot for Christmas. I mean, I want a quarterback. I mean, you know, I want, you know, I want the Cleveland Rockers back and to be in a hot tub with all their players. No, I'm just kidding.
wow.
No, I mean, I think you can't be greedy. You know, otherwise, you'll get a lump of coal. I'm only going to ask Santa for one thing, and that's LeBron to log less minutes.
All right. Any volunteers to go next? John, Dan, Gerg?
Sure, I'll talk.
All right, John.
Cleveland sports consistency.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah,
they're consistently bad.
I know.
I don't think he's that magical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with baseball, we had the ability to be consistent.
They've kind of been consistent the last couple of years.
They choke when it...
Well, yeah. It's like, that's consistent.
Yeah, all right. But, I don't know, the Cavs are
starting...
Wait,
stick to your guns, John.
Okay, all right. And the Browns never are.
No, the Browns are also... I mean, consistent doesn't mean good.
So you want the Cleveland teams to be mediocre.
They're consistently inconsistent.
Can they just be 500?
Well, I mean, I'd love the Browns to be 500 this year.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
if they win this week...
It's not going to happen.
Connor Shaw?
No, come on.
If they had Rex Grossman, I would be betting Browns, but Connor Shaw, I don't know enough about him.
I don't know. Consistent play, I'm talking, like, good...
Playoff contenders?
Good, like, consistent play, where that you know what to expect from them that's not bad. How about that?
You want them to not suck.
Yes.
Okay.
It's really what I'm looking for.
All right. Gerg, Dan? Gerg? Gerg? No?
He's thinking.
I'm thinking. I want so much for this town. But... I don't know. I don't really know. I want the Cavs to play to their potential. That won't happen. Joe's LeBron playing less minutes. I think it's a good start. I don't know. I feel like we've discussed this before, but I want the fans to have less power in the decisions made in this town. Because Cleveland has, and I mean, I'm not saying it because I'm one of them, and I'm not saying because I live here. We have one of the strongest fan bases for professional sports in the nation. I don't think anybody would dispute that.
Mm.
But I feel like they kind of need to stop listening.
Well, they're highly reactionary is the problem.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I want them to be less reactionary. I want them to just go, you know what? This is what's happening this season. Like, I want somebody with the balls to say, this is our plan for the season, this is what we're doing. Across the board.
Well, you know what? The fans that kind of do seem that way are Indians fans. Whereas,
sure,
because they have somebody like Francona in there who is going to stick to his guns, they trust that he knows what he's doing. When you have an organization like the Browns, you can't put your faith in anything they do because you know the next year they're probably just going to throw everybody out and start all over. So why would the fans not feel the same way? Like, well, you screwed up again, try over again. Like, get rid of everyone and let's start fresh because this one isn't working. Because that's what the Browns have taught us to do. So, I agree with you, it would be nice if it wasn't like that. I have wondered myself sometimes if it's like that in other cities. You know, when the Broncos go out there and lose to St. Louis, whatever it was like 22 to, you know, 6 or whatever, was there people calling into their sports talk shows going, Peyton Manning's done. Get rid of him. He sucks. Fire the coach.
Well, I'm sure there was.
We need Brock Osweiler.
I'm sure there was at least one. I mean, that's just the way fandom works.
I've been saying it for years. Manning's over the hill. Like, because that's what would be happening here. We're so quick to just turn on
everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who. Like, for them to say, is Pettine going to be around after this season?
You can't fire your coach after one season,
What player of the Browns has had a streak of Peyton Manning, like, of goodness that's, like, enough to make you not say... I mean, there's nobody who's had, like, the...
How quick do you think you could get people to turn on Joe Thomas?
Well, there are a lot of idiots that already are.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
So, there we go.
Yeah, like, good.
All pro.
We do seem very reactionary as a fan base.
And they listen to us too much. Do you know what I want for Christmas for this town? For the sports franchise?
I think that
everybody?
Was the question.
Whiskey.
No, we've got plenty of that. No, I want... I don't care even who it is. I want one of our professional teams to win a championship. I don't care which one. I don't care if it's
who
either.
Would it be if you could pick though? Who would you
honestly?
Want to
I'd
do
want it?
It
to be the Browns. I would love to see
I think
the
that's
Browns.
A, I think we might have talked about it briefly on the show before, but I think I'd like to hear everybody's thought on that.
But who is it going to be? Most likely Cavs.
Right.
Oh,
but if you
and,
could
and
pick,
that's great
if you
too.
Could pick, who would you want? If you could have one of the three franchises win, who would you want it to be? Who do you?
Browns.
Browns.
I think that the Browns winning the Super Bowl would be a big enough statement because think of every time they show that Cleveland sports highlight reel. You know, there's effing Ernest Biner,
John Elway.
John Elway, exactly. I feel like with with what happened with the team leaving and going to Baltimore,
them winning two Super Bowls.
Then yeah, and them winning two Super Bowls, exactly. And Belichick going on and having a lot of success. Yeah. I feel like the Browns winning, like if the Cavs won with LeBron, that would be fantastic. But people would be less surprised if the Cavs won with LeBron than if the Browns won.
Okay.
And the Indians, I mean, the Indians are the Indians. They got close a couple times. They've put good fields or good teams on the field. The Browns would be the statement. And I feel like this town is one championship away from moving upward at an alarming rate. I think that's what we need. And I don't know that it's going to happen anytime soon. And that's
unless it's the
really
Cavs.
Depressing. Unless it's the Cavs, and yeah. But again, the Cavs winning, I don't think that it's going to be as much of a statement as everybody thinks. As soon as LeBron said he was coming back, everybody's like, well, Cavs are going to win. They're not going to dominate, but they're going to win. So nobody will be surprised. It won't be that big of a deal.
It does have that feeling of it's a little bit artificial right now.
Yeah.
But I think we all, you know, I've thought that too. But I think that will change a little bit once we get into the, you know, the inner, you know, the deep into the playoffs. You know, we're going to struggle.
Yeah, well, and, sure. And the Cavs have not, you know.
Right.
You know, just skip through the regular
season.
It's
going to be an intense struggle. Oh, the West. If I were predict, I would predict that the Cavs would not win at all with the way the West is.
Right.
And we might not, depending upon matchups, we might not even get by a Toronto or a Chicago in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think we will.
Or a Washington.
Well, gee, it's not going to be easy. We're not going to sweep our way through. It's not going to be fo-fo-fo.
I think it'll be fairly easy. I think it'll be 6 games.
Is it fo-fo-fo?
I think it'll be 4-4-6. Fo-fo-6.
Dan, who would you prefer to win a championship?
The Browns.
The Browns?
Absolutely the Browns.
John? John says Browns. I say Indians. I want the Indians to win the World Series.
They're my second choice.
Like, and I would say the Cavs would be my second choice. I don't think the Browns deserve it. The Browns have been such a train wreck since they came back that
I
even
think
if
that's
they,
why
won,
they deserve it.
No, they don't deserve it. Maybe the fans deserve it, but the organization absolutely does not deserve it. If there's an organization in sports that deserves a championship less than the Browns, I'd like to see it because they've run themselves so terribly for the last 15 years. The Raiders won. The Raiders went to the Super Bowl.
The Raiders played the Bucks in 2002.
They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, They had an owner who was senile. That's their fault. Their owner lived too long.
Yeah, I think
the Browns, with their constant blowing up of the franchise every 3 years, first off, you'll never win a championship that way. But if they won it, I would be ecstatic. I would think it was great. But there'd be a part of me that'd be like, dude, I wish they didn't do this because now they're going to think that they're great when they're not. And the Indian, like, for some reason, I don't know what it is. Like, winning the World Series seems to me to be like the biggest deal. Like, that's the one with the most behind it. Even though
I still think the Super Bowl, I think the World Series has lost its luster a little bit with all the parody in baseball. I mean, the Royals made the World Series. I mean, if the Royals won it all, I'd be like, got hot at the end of the year.
But that would be a great story.
But I wouldn't be like, that's a great team. I'd be like, that's a team that got lucky at the end of the year.
Well, and that's what happened with the Giants.
If the Browns won the Super Bowl, whoever wins the Super Bowl, I'm like, that's a great team. If everyone's the World Series, I'm like, oh, they played well.
No, you think that Baltimore team that won was great, or even the San Francisco team they played?
You got to beat a lot of good teams.
You have to get hot at the right time. The Giants, when they won, at either time they won the Super Bowl,
not nearly
as
much
team.
Baseball is a lot more about getting hot than football. Football, you have to be legitimately pretty good and kind of get hot.
But I think you need more of a team to do it. I guess with pitching, your pitching needs to, you need one guy in football. Your quarterback gets hot, and you have a decent defense, you've got a shot. I mean, in pitching,
The Indians would have gotten the playoffs last year. They could have won the World Series, and they didn't have the best team.
No, and the best team doesn't always win. That's why they play the games. But if they just said,
I think in football,
let's take a look
a
at
really
the
good team
on paper,
always wins. Even that Trent Dilfer team was, I mean, that was a historically good defense.
Yeah.
I still think that's a hard team to beat. I mean, you can, even with Trent Dilfer, you play that team, it's going to be nearly impossible to beat them with that
yeah,
defense.
Yeah, and that.
You play the Royals, if they're playing well, you'll beat them. If they're playing bad, then
But those kind of teams, that's because they play a series. I mean, basketball, there's only five guys on the court for each team, so it's, you know, the team with more talent will usually win. You don't usually get fluke teams coming out of, like,
basketball is the ultimate,
winning.
The best team always wins, almost.
Yeah, pretty much.
Talent trumps everything else in the NBA.
Yeah. Talent and health. I mean,
correct.
Because you can get one guy hurt in basketball and you're screwed.
And matchups. You know,
I mean,
matchups,
you get one guy hurt in baseball.
Yeah.
Or
the Magic in
2009. Yeah.
When they played the Cavs. I mean, if we would have played the Celtics, we probably would have gone to the finals that year.
Yeah, it was just a
bad matchup.
Right. Football is, you know, matchups come into play in the NFL and the NBA.
I understand completely your guys' points that, you know, the Super Bowl. Obviously the Super Bowl is the biggest deal right now out of all of them. That's the most watched, the most hyped, all of it. I just don't think the Browns deserve it. I'd love it if they won one, but they aren't my choice. They're my third choice. I'm not saying I don't want them to win. I would love to see the Indians or the Cavs win before them.
I just think the World Series lost its luster. I mean, when you think of a great team, do you think of the San Francisco Giants or do you think of, like, the San Antonio Spurs? I mean, the Giants
have
won,
but that's
like,
because the Spurs have won a bunch of them.
Won a bunch of them.
If only the Spurs, like, if the Spurs won last year for the first time, you'd go, well, they were good for a while. They finally won their championship. I mean, they're not a dynasty because they didn't win a ton of championships in a row, but they're definitely the best team of the 2000s. I mean, the last 15 years, that's the Spurs.
Yeah. Has anyone else not answered what they want from Santa?
Dan didn't, and I didn't.
I have a couple Browns things. You know, kind of like what you're talking about, Dave. You know, this organization has just been so futile. The one thing I want from them is consistent drafting. You know, I think.
Cleveland as a whole.
Well, we all want a quarterback, but I think even beyond the quarterback, think about our last 3 years, our last five first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Whedon, Trent Richardson.
Mingo.
Mingo, and then the two this year, Gilbert and Manziel. We have gotten absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Can you guys imagine where we would be if we got two out of those five right? Like, think about our successful first-round
picks. And think about
picks.
Good teams that get, like, four out of the five right.
And they're picking later.
Think about a guy like Joe Haden or Alex Mack, two good first-round picks. Could you imagine if we had two more guys like that on this roster where we would be even without a quarterback? I just want consistent drafting. You know, I don't know if Ray Farmer is that guy. It's too early to judge him after one offseason.
And he was kind of thrust into the role late.
And,
I mean, now he's got a full season.
I also firmly believe that Manziel is not his guy. I believe that if it was up to him, he would have taken Bridgewater.
I think they should have just ate it this year. Because all the reports before the draft last year were that Farmer loved Mariota. And you can't go out and get him now.
Just pull a Joe Banner and trade our fourth rounder for a third rounder next year, our third rounder for a second rounder next year.
Just by 2019, we'll have a first-round pick. You know, I think the other thing is, you know, going Browns again, because I can't ask for anything more with the Cavs. I feel like we've already gotten so lucky with LeBron and Kevin Love and all these guys. And the Indians, I don't know. But I'm picking for another one for the Browns. We're still missing an impact, like a disruptor on the defensive line. I think, you know, the old adage is you need a Pro Bowler at all three levels. And obviously, we have that with Hayden. Even with Tashaun Gibson, he would have been in the Pro Bowl easily if he stayed healthy. Linebacker, we're still, you know, we have some nice players, Dansby and Kruger. You know, they're kind of borderline Pro Bowlers. We don't have that guy on the defensive front. Phil Taylor was supposed to be that guy. He's clearly not. He's talented.
Well, he can't stay healthy.
Can't stay on the damn field. You know, you need that guy like Jay. We've seen those guys this year. We faced J.J. Watt. We faced Marcell Dareus with Buffalo. Haloti Ngata. The Browns need one of those guys.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, like you said, hopefully Farmer proves himself to be that guy who can finally make some picks.
Because I mean, tell you, if you get one of those guys as good as our second, do you guys realize that our secondary is rated? And I know they're rated the number one secondary in football. Mm-hmm. And that's with an inconsistent pass rush. I mean, sometimes our pass rush is good. Other times we can't even touch them.
Yeah.
So if you add a pass rush and, you know, a guy who can stop the run as well.
Yeah, and hopefully Gilbert kind of takes a step next year. Because I'm not giving up on the guy. I'm not giving up on Manziel either. It's hard for me to give up on a rookie after 1 year. I mean, I guess Gilbert has looked pretty much as bad as Manziel at times. Like his first few games when they threw him out there, he just kept getting burned, getting penalties. He doesn't play that much, but when he plays, you don't see him giving up huge plays all the time anymore. He has been passed on the depth chart by Pierre Desir,
who has played pretty well in the last game.
Pierre had a nice game last game.
I tell you, if I'm looking at that starting cornerback, I think he might be my front runner next year.
Especially with his size.
Yeah.
If he could pick it up.
Yeah, because that was the problem with playing that Kwan Williams. I mean, he's like 5'8". You could just throw it over his head.
He's a pretty good player, but I would like to see them re-sign Screen and maybe make him and Williams as more of those nickel guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, have Desir and Gilbert compete for that starting job.
All right. Well, I would like to ask Santa for a new Cleveland Indians owner.
Amen.
One with billions and billions of dollars who doesn't care what they do with it.
Mark Cuban? Well, he doesn't have billions, but...
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does, yeah.
He's a billionaire.
Larry Dolan has deep pockets. He just has short arms.
Well, that's why I said a guy with billions of dollars who doesn't care what they do with it. You know, like the Tigers. Like the Tigers owner. Well, I don't know that I want somebody that's that hands-on. You know, let's get somebody, you know, that just stays in the background and says, here, you know, and I've said it on this show before. The Lerner family got a terrible rap in this town because they weren't involved enough. All they did was sign the checks and let the teams go after whoever they want. They just had terrible front offices. I mean, if you put an owner like Lerner with a competent front office, that's the perfect combination. When we got Haslam, everybody went, hey, look, we got a guy who cares. And I went, that's not necessarily a good thing, because then he steps in and makes you draft Johnny Manziel. Because he's a homeless guy told him to, I guess. But I would love to see the Indians get a new owner, one that is willing to spend to compete. And I also believe that would lead to the firing of these front office idiots who have been terrible at their jobs for years and don't somehow, like, they get all this credit for these trades that they make where, you know, the big trades they go for, they whiff on. But then everybody they sign turns out to be a bust. You know, Dolan, he doesn't like to sign guys because he goes, every time we sign somebody, they're not any good. So that's the player's fault, or is it the guys who are signing the players? If you give these guys the green light to go out and spend $15 million on one guy and $12 million on another, and they come back and they both suck, how's that? You can't chalk that up to bad luck. Oh, man, you know, these long-term contracts, they just don't work for us. They don't work for you because the guys making these signings are doing a bad job. And they don't. Mark Shapiro got promoted for his being bad at his job. He was awful at drafting. He was awful at signing people. He made a couple good trades, and that made him team president. So his protege, Mark Antonetti, or is that his first? Chris Antonetti, could take Chris over. And continue the tradition.
I don't think those two guys are the ones who draft. I mean, it's, you know, it's another. It's like John Mirabelli or somebody like that. Brad Grant now.
I think those two guys set the agenda at the top. I think we need a fresh outlook on the general manager position on personnel.
If you ask the Indians, like, hey, why won't you fire these guys? And if it's not them you're talking to, you know, if you ask Dolan. I'm almost positive the answer he would give is that those two guys are so well respected in baseball. If they fired them, they'd be signed with a new team tomorrow, which is the same reason they didn't fire Eric Wedge, because they said the same thing. And what happened with Eric Wedge when we fired him? Nobody wanted him.
From the Mariners.
Because he was terrible. Well, he had to wait a year or two. You know, they said, if we fire Eric Wedge, we're going to look like idiots because he's going to walk out the door and walk right in somebody else's because everybody knows how good he is. And that didn't happen. And they would tell you the same thing with the two guys.
I will say, I mean, Terry Francona has a high level of respect for those two guys. That's part of the reason why he came back.
Yeah, well, they just signed him to an extension, and he's not allowed to leave if we fire him anymore. So
here's the question, though. You said you didn't want a meddling owner, but would you take Dan Gilbert if it kicked Larry Dolan out? If Dan Gilbert wanted to buy the Indians.
Yeah, I would.
What about Jimmy Haslam?
No. No, I don't like Jimmy Haslam.
But just, you said that the Indians were your number one team that wanted to win a championship. There's no salary cap in baseball. Jimmy Haslam over Larry Dolan, writing the checks?
He would legitimately spend $200 million on a payroll.
Oh, you're probably sure Michael Bourne will just release him.
These guys aren't any good? Get rid of them. I don't care. All right, fine.
Let's go
you convinced
both
me. No, don't get both Upton. Yeah. Only
Justin
get the good
Upton,
one.
The other Upton, Kate Upton, why not? Yeah. And we'll get Verlander, too, with Kate Upton.
Yeah, you convinced me. That's fine. Well, I'll take Haslam. He'll probably end up in jail anyway. We just need his money. So, we're almost an hour and a half in. So, do we want to go to our last topic, or should we say Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night?
We could probably do it quick. Do a quick little.
All right.
Yeah.
Keeping with our Christmas theme, we figured we would briefly talk. And like last week, we talked about the best sports movies. Now we're going to talk about our favorite Christmas movies / specials. You know, the things they show on TV every year or so. I don't know if it's actually on every year anymore. But, yeah, so, I mean, for me, it's hard to beat Die Hard. It's not. It's starting to pick up steam, people recognizing that it's a Christmas movie. You used to say it, and they'd go, what are you talking about? It's not a Christmas movie. Absolutely, it takes place at a Christmas party. But I don't watch it because it makes me get the Christmas spirit. I watch it because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it just happens to take place at Christmas.
Well, and it gives you a great excuse to at least watch it once a year.
Well, and he says,
Die Hard, you should watch at least once a year, even if it's not at Christmas.
And there is the part where he
Hans, Bobby, I'm your white knight.
He puts the Santa hat.
What did you tell him, Ellis?
He puts the Santa hat on the guy, sends him down the elevator. So now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho. Which, side note, 2 or 3 years ago at Christmas, I sent my girlfriend flowers, and that's what the note said. And I didn't know if she would get it, and she didn't.
I still remember that text message.
It was like,
I just sent blank this this card, and she didn't get it. And I said, "Did you really?"
Yeah, and I sent it to her. I sent it to her at work too.
So, she's like, probably saving that, so if something goes wrong, that might be turning to the police.
So everybody at work sees her gets these flowers and says, "Now I have a machine gun." Ho, ho, ho. I was like, and then she's like, "I didn't get it." I'm like, "Die Hard." She goes, "Oh, that's stupid."
Yeah, well, at least you didn't send your girlfriend flowers, and everybody that she works with went, "Oh, who are they from?"
Ha ha. Oops.
Yeah.
As far as the traditional Christmas specials, I'm not really big on any of them. I mean, I guess like I used to like the Garfield Christmas special when I was a kid. That was always fun. But I never really liked the Peanuts one, and it wasn't big on Rudolph and Frosty and all that.
Yeah, Rudolph is just weird. You gotta
the California Raisins Claymation special, that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Great.
They don't play that one anymore.
I've seen that like 8 times.
Phenomenal.
Anything about that.
That was a good one.
I remember them singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's all I remember. And it was great.
My answer is fairly boring. I'd just say Christmas Vacation. I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, how can you not love vacation movies, Chevy? I mean, it's the best. It's a generic answer, but it's great.
No, as far as Christmas comedies go, it's, you know, at worst, I can see it being second or third. I mean, depending on your opinion. I personally would put Bad Santa above it. I like Bad Santa a little better than Christmas Vacation. But that's just because Christmas Vacation's been around for so long. I've seen it so many times. You know, if that came out now, maybe I would like that better because it'd be newer.
Here's the one I don't get. Saying this as, without a doubt, a Will Ferrell fan. I don't understand Elf.
Oh, people love that movie.
Elf is one of the most annoying films I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched Anchorman more times than people have probably showered in their lives. And Elf is one of the most annoying films I've ever seen. I just don't get it. He's unbearable in it. And Zooey Deschanel, I don't know where she falls on the spectrum, but it's got to be pretty far up there. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand that film or the people that are in it. I don't get it.
I kind of thought Joe was going to say Love Actually. He's a pretty big fan of rom-com.
You know what? Hold on. I watched Love Actually for the first time like 6 months ago.
I'm glad you can admit that.
It's terrible. But...
You're not a fan of Hugh Grant, a.k.a. Phil Mickelson?
No. But Bill Nighy as the weird, like, rock star dude.
The science guy?
He's kind of supposed to be Elton John, and he's kind of not.
It's like, Greek.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's not bad. Seeing the guy from The Walking Dead in it is hilarious.
Wait, which guy is in it?
The lead guy from The Walking Dead is
really?
One of the... Yeah, he's...
Really? I haven't seen Love Actually in quite some time.
The guy that shows up at Keira Knightley's house with the, like, the cue cards, essentially, that's the guy from Walking Dead. Which, for some, like, that still blows people's
minds. Sheriff Rick?
Yeah. Rick Grimes. Yeah, that movie is not a good movie. Yeah. But there are some...
Yeah, I mean, the whole cue card thing, I mean, I don't know. Is that really, like, love? I don't know.
That's corny as hell.
That's, like, corny, you know? Yeah.
But...
And it's weird seeing Liam Neeson not being, like, you know, kind of creepy old guy, you know, trying to punch people.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor is in it, and I just pointed that out because I almost pronounced his name correctly.
Is there a good Hugh Grant movie out there? I mean, Notting Hill...
No.
About a boy with you, man.
Yeah, he was in that, and yeah. No.
I really don't think there's one good Hugh Grant movie.
No, but I'll tell you a good Christmas movie that nobody thinks about. And I don't know if Home it's Alone. On that list. Scroll over a little bit more, because I think it actually is on that list. Yeah, there it is. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. If any of you have never seen Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, yeah, Corbin Burnson.
Val Kilmer. I love Val Kilmer.
Michelle Monaghan.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Like,
oh,
that, like,
God, no.
Terrible 60s musical or something.
Written and directed by Shane Black, who did Predators, and he did the Lethal Weapon movie.
Predators.
I'm sorry. Predator, not Predators.
Shannon Sossaman, I like her.
Shannon Sossaman, Larry Miller. It's Dorn. Fantastic. I completely forgot that Roger it was a Dorn. Christmas movie. Yeah. And there you go. There's your sports connection. Roger Dorn, and he just keeps leaning into those ground balls. That's a great movie, and that, as I told Bab before the show started, that's the movie that got Robert Downey Jr. The Iron Man franchise, and it's the guy who ended up directing and writing Iron Man 3.
It wasn't Ally McBeal.
Somehow viewed as the weakest out of the series, even though Iron Man 2 is complete garbage. So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Watch it. It's a Christmas movie. It's really funny. And it's not Elf, and Elf sucks. So I would drop the mic here if it wasn't a expensive mic.
What's everybody's feelings on Christmas Story in this room?
I hate it.
Okay, good. I hate it too.
I think it's overrated and it's kind of depressing. It's not like a happy movie.
No. Oh, he gets the BB gun at the end. Who cares?
And
I've just suffered through this.
And if TBS has one more 24-hour marathon.
Oh, they will. I hate that movie. My whole life, it was shoved down my throat. Yeah. It's like, this isn't funny. This isn't... I don't enjoy this. Like, I didn't enjoy it as a child, and I enjoy it even less as an adult. It's not one of those movies you go back and watch, and you're like, oh, I just didn't get it. No, I got it. And it's not... There's really not much to get. It's just not entertaining.
Has anybody not given their answer yet? John, did you give yours, or Dan didn't give his either?
Yeah, I could. There's like three I normally watch. I always watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's a classic.
I'll watch Home Alone anytime I see it on TV.
Home Alone's good, but
what, Bandits?
Yeah,
the Sticky Bandits.
Scrooge is funny. Bill Murray.
You know, that's
it's not
another
as
bad,
but
I finally got around to watching it last year because all I ever heard was how funny it was and how great it was, and it wasn't bad. I would say, you know, watch it if you've never seen it, but I don't know that I'll ever watch it again. I didn't think it was great.
I agree.
Like, Bill Murray obviously is Bill Murray. He's just funny no matter what he does, but you know, the rest of it, I can take it or leave it.
As much as I love Bill Murray, I feel like Scrooged is hitting Groundhog Day level in just complete overratedness, where I used to love Scrooged, and every time I watch it, I go, this really isn't as funny as I remember it being, and it's just kind of like, hey, this guy's a piece of garbage. And at the end of the movie, he's still kind of a piece of garbage, but at least, like, he realizes that he treated this one lady like crap. And that's it. And Groundhog Day is, oh, I think he learned a lesson. Probably. He can play the piano really good. That's Groundhog Day.
Joe, I don't know
Punching
if you knew
Ned
this.
Ryerson in the throat.
But Scrooged was the movie that got Bill Murray the role in Kingpin.
That's not true.
No, I just made it up.
All right, then my other one is Trading Places.
Yeah.
I watch that every year.
Yeah.
And then my last one is my guilty pleasure, Ernest Saves Christmas.
I was going to ask.
I will watch that all the time.
Anyone had an Ernest movie? Isn't that guy dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vern is.
Jim Varney.
Jim Varney, dead. Makes me sad, but he saves Christmas, so life is good.
He saves Christmas, he saves Halloween.
During Halloween, I will always watch the Halloween episode, too.
Oh, yeah, Ernest Scared Stupid?
That's fantastic. Miak, gotta love it.
Tiny Botswana.
We need a lumberjack. There ain't no trees in Botswana. I should know. I never had a job.
That's right. I got nothing else. So is Lethal Weapon really a Christmas movie?
No, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon does take place at Christmas. Yeah, you're right.
It's a Christmas movie the same way Die Hard is, pretty much.
But I don't think anyone views Lethal Weapon like
that. No, because it's not as good as Die Hard.
There's a subtext to it. Danny Glover is actually the ghost of Christmas past.
Well, and technically, like, Die Hard the whole movie of Die Hard takes place on Christmas Eve.
Right, right.
You know, Lethal Weapon is not all in one day. So, I mean, there's a little bit more Christmas to it in Die Hard, even though there's very little. But I'll hold on to it because I want to watch it every year.
Dave won't bring it up, but his actual favorite is I'll Be Home for Christmas, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
He doesn't love a little JT.
Yeah, Dave was a real big Home Improvement fan, but not because he thought Tim Allen was funny. Fun fact, Home Improvement is what got Tim Allen the Santa Claus movies.
Home Improvement is what got Tim Allen everything.
That's not true.
What got Tim Allen Home Improvement?
That's not true.
How did Tim Allen
get... Drug possession got Tim Allen jail time.
So, was that what got Pam Anderson Baywatch, or did Baywatch come before Home Improvement?
No. Breast implants got Pam Anderson Baywatch.
Okay. And Home Improvement.
And Home Improvement.
Was she on Home Improvement
and things
before
that we
Baywatch?
Can't talk about on this show. She dated hockey players, though, so I guess it might be relevant.
Did anyone see the movie Barbed Wire?
Oh, God!
Oh, wow. No. Not with the sound on.
That's not a Christmas movie, is it?
Depends.
Is that one of those movies that you find in the dollar bin at Walmart?
It's always Christmas when you watch Barbed Wire.
That's kind of where I'm going with it, Joe. Thank you much.
It keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Giving terribleness.
Is that one of the movies you find in the dollar bin at Walmart? That's one of the movies you find in the dollar bin at Walmart that you hope nobody sees you pick up. And then you hope that the self-checkout is open so nobody sees you buy it.
And then you throw the receipt out.
And then you throw the receipt out, and then you throw the case out, because you don't want anybody to ever, if somebody does happen to show up and go, hey, let's see what movies you got. You don't want them to see barbed wire. You kind of just keep it in a plastic bag in a dresser drawer. Yeah, we've all been there.
I have a feeling if Tim was here, he would be defending barbed wire's honor.
If you buy barbed wire, you have to go through the self-checkout, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have to, like, buy something else to accompany it to kind of mask your, you know?
No, because it's the self-checkout. Cover? So you have to wait.
You don't have to do that.
You just have to wait till nobody else is at any of the other self-checkout.
No self-checkout. What else would you buy to try to cover
Nothing.
Yourself?
No,
up?
You abandon ship.
You
just, no,
you
don't
just steal
just
it
go
at that
forget.
Point. There's no security.
At that point, you just go all in. You buy Magnum condoms. You just, I mean,
no one
throw it all out there.
No one has ever been prosecuted for
Why
stealing a barbed wire DVD.
Together.
No one has ever been prosecuted for it.
You get put in an insane asylum.
That's not true. They go, okay, all right, look, it's better for everybody if we just don't ever talk about this again. So we're going to keep the movie. You just go home.
No, they look at you and they go,
what do you? How do you
even
defend? You
have the sense? Internet.
Oh.
I like action movies. I guess that.
Barbed wire is
Listen,
not an action movie.
I like
there are
strong,
motorcycles and guns and loud music, and I'm telling you that it still somehow is not.
I like strong female leads.
Yeah, she's got great definition on her chest.
I watch barbed wire. I watch the Resident Evil movies.
I know people that still try to convince me that those are good movies, and I've never seen with them in public.
It would be easier to do like a worst of, like Christmas with the Cranks, Jingle All the Way, but
it's most of them. And I'll put all those.
Sorry,
I'll put
Santa Claus trilogy at this point.
I think there might be some straight VHS ones to push it up to about six.
The
now.
Family Stone, starring Horseface, that old lady that wears pantsuits everywhere, the Wilson brother that used to be funny. I can't tell who anybody else is. Oh,
Craig
the girl,
T. Nelson?
The girl from
Craig
the Wedding
Nelson.
Crashers that was
Coach?
The downer.
Coach?
That's not Craig T. Nelson.
Oh, he's in that movie.
I think it is. I think it's Craig T. Nelson. There
Dermot
he is.
Mulroney. So he is in films.
Craig T. Nelson and Rachel McAdams.
Parks and Recreations, Paul Schneider.
Yeah,
that's right. Claire Danes. That's why I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, she's the star?
Yeah.
Wow. See her on the
Christmas movies, four
that,
exclamation
that's what
points.
Got her to Jillian on her 37th birthday.
There's a Mickey
birthday.
Movie in the top five, along with the first two Home Alones and the Nativity Story.
All right. I think it might be time to wrap
No, we need to keep talking about Christmas movies. Nightmare Before Christmas is overrated.
Yes, it
if is. If you really like it, I'm sorry you're a weirdo.
Okay.
I think they're just now looking for movies that have Christmas in the title at this point.
All right. I think that's enough.
Elf is number 37 on this list.
Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you all.
And if you get to the end of it and listen to this entire podcast, we'll send you a free. There's
if you
there's
can mention one of the movies we just
saw.
We'll send you Barb Wire on DVD.
By my calculations, we have five copies of it.
None of them have cases.
And a box of tissue.
Just pay shipping and handling.
Just pay shipping because you'll be doing a lot of handling on your own.
There it is. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have yourselves a Merry Christmas.
Everybody be a hero, be an organ donor.
You'll all see you guys.
Happy New Year. We'll be back after the New Year for our Best of 2014 episode.
Which we're going to call Post New Year's with the Cranks.
Yeah, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, whatever.
Joe got that one. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Thank you for having me. It was
good
a pleasure.
Debut. And to everyone else, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
I love you.